First reading comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you act in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rachel. And Carol is going to do our second reading from 1 John 3.
Okay, this is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But what we know, that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This
Thank
is
you,
the word
Carol.
Of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Right, the title of the talk I wanted to give this morning is called Taking Jesus Seriously. What are you staring at? At the start of our lectionary readings for today, I was challenged by Peter's words to the watching crowd. Why do you stare at us? I imagined myself in the crowd, witnessing this man, lame from birth, who had to be carried daily and put at the temple gate called Beautiful in order to beg for money, instantly jump to his feet and begin to walk at the instruction of these two men. I would have been staring. This event, of course, takes place after the disciples' commissioning and Jesus' ascension, after the disciples have waited a further 11 days, and after the Holy Spirit has been poured out on them at Pentecost, events in the church calendar that we will be remembering next month. I noted that Peter, now in his position of boldness, is quick to point out that this healing has taken place in the mighty name of Jesus. It is a real demonstration of God's power working through them because of their faith in Jesus. Peter then goes on to admonish the crowd for killing Jesus, the author of life. He says that he and John are witnesses to God raising Jesus from the dead. And then we see tenderness and God's love showing through when he gives them a second chance and says, "I know that you acted in ignorance. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." The gospel, in its simplest form, that out of his love, God gave Jesus for us, so that by believing in him, we might be saved. It made me ask myself the question, do I take the power and love of Jesus seriously? I regard myself as a born-again Christian. I know the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and how I was before I knew Jesus. I have experienced the times of refreshing that come from the Lord, as mentioned by Peter above, and I know and trust that I'm growing in the great love that my dear Heavenly Father has lavished upon me, that I should be called his child, as stated in our second reading. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today, and that we are expected to use them as part of Jesus' great commission. I pray for healing, and yet I would have been staring at Peter and John healing this man. What would my expectation have been? Do I not have enough faith, I ask myself? Do I not take Jesus seriously? I use a Bible app called Lectio 365. It is produced by Pete Gregg of 24/7 Prayer and provides a morning and night meditation. I can recommend it. Occasionally, they remember a great person of faith, and last Thursday, it was Corrie ten Boom. Many will have heard of her book, The Hiding Place, which tells of the brave work of her family during the Second World War, hiding an estimated 800 resistance fighters and Jews in their home, protecting them until they could be moved to safe houses. In 1944, the Ten Booms were betrayed, and she and her sister Betsy were sent to concentration camps, first in Holland and then in Germany. They endured interrogation, and yet, in the harsh conditions, they still led a nightly prayer group with a smuggled Bible. Betsy died in the camp, but Corrie was later released, and after the war had a teaching and speaking ministry. During a later talk on effectual prayer, Corrie told her audience about catching a bad cold whilst living in a concentration camp. Her sister Betsy told her to pray and ask God for help. I half expected, to my shame, that it was going to go on to say that Corrie commanded the cold to go in Jesus' name and that all the prisoners in the camp were cured of colds. But no, it went on like this. Her sister Betsy told her to pray and ask God for help. Corrie laughed. Betsy, however, prayed for God to give Corrie a handkerchief. A simple, practical prayer. After she said Amen, a friend arrived and gave Corrie a gift of a handkerchief. How in the world did you know that I needed a handkerchief? Asked Corrie. Her friend replied, there was a voice in my heart who said bring a handkerchief to Corrie ten Boom. Corrie continued, can you understand what a handkerchief tells you in such a moment? That there is a Father in heaven who hears it when, on a very small planet, the earth, someone of his children prays for an impossible small thing, for a hanky. And that Father in heaven tells one of his other children, give a handkerchief to Corrie ten Boom. That is the foolishness of God, but the foolishness of God is the greatest wisdom, and I've learned so much by that handkerchief. Corrie went on to say, there's nothing too great for God's power and nothing too small for God's love. I learned that in the difficult class of life's school. When you are in a difficult class, then you learn much, especially when the teacher is good, and my teacher was the Holy Spirit. It occurred to me that on a simple level, this was a different kind of demonstration of God's power through a trusting and expectant prayer of faith that was no less a miracle than the healing of the lame beggar. And it challenged me that every day I too have the opportunity to step out in faith in a small way that points to the love of Jesus, because I am a child of God and my Heavenly Father has lavished his great love upon me. Earlier in the week, a lady told me that she had been prompted by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to her adult son to tell him how much he is loved. Her son is not a believer. She said that he had often said as a child that he was not loved as much as the others. She dismissed the prompting at first, but then, as in the case with the Holy Spirit, it would not go away. So she began to write the letter. She said, as you could imagine, it had a lot of Jesus in it. Anyway, she put the letter to one side and did not really intend to give it to him, because she was concerned about her son's reaction. Her husband, however, encouraged her that now that she had taken the time to write it, she may as well give it to him. She prayed for the right time. Last week, he had a special birthday, and on that day, she gave him the letter. She said that she was not prepared for his response. The letter meant so much to him that he was absolutely bowled over. Who knows what impact that may have had on his relationship with his family, let alone his journey to faith. One of the main points for me was that she waited and asked God for the right time. She didn't just rush ahead in her own strength and miss the God-appointed moment. Something else that also challenged me this week was an email from Thy Kingdom Come. As you know, we as churches in Oldham and Marks Tay have taken part in Thy Kingdom Come prayer for what will now be 6 years. Each year, in addition to praying for 1 hour, we have been encouraged to pray for 5 people. This year, it is suggested that not only do we pray for 5 people and start preparing for this now by asking the Holy Spirit for names, but also that we give those people personally a copy of the newly produced prayer journal, which is very appropriate. If these were made available, I find myself asking the question, is this something I could do? Once again, it requires me to put aside myself and take a step of faith in order to allow God to work. John Ryland writes, most of us wouldn't say that we are ashamed of the gospel, but perhaps we are in danger of changing it a bit here and there. In its simplest form, the gospel is this: out of his love, God gave Jesus for us, so that by believing in him, we might be saved. So simple, but actually so hard to put into practice. He goes on. Many people long for healing, to hear Jesus tell them to pick up their mat and walk. Until that happens, be quick to listen to what Jesus is saying to you in the Bible, that your sins are forgiven and God's love has been poured into your heart. Say yes to these truths, believe them, and put them into practice in your life. Then reach out and see what God will do. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Corrie ten Boom's words. There's nothing too great for God's power and nothing too small for God's love. And that when we are in a difficult class, we learn much, especially when our good teacher is the Holy Spirit. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children on whom you have lavished your love. Help us by your Holy Spirit to take those small steps of faith that allow you to demonstrate your love and your power in our own lives and speak your name, love and power into the lives of others. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.